Welcome to the Reddit universe. This is episode 2. Today I have a guest called Ray Shan. I mentioned in my previous episode, he was one of my first people that I met in the film industry when we first started doing acting. Ray's been in other films such as, you might know, C600. He's been all the 3 episodes in that sci-fi series. And more recently, Ray also was in my second feature film called The Manor. So Ray Shan, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Blake.
Let's talk about a little bit about your background as an actor. Why you want to join the film industry? What did you do before? And just what you want people to know about you, really.
Well, it's a long story. So I arrived in UK when I was like almost 18 years old. When I was in university, I was doing some part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. So one of my part-time jobs is I was activity coordinator. So I travel, go to different care homes, doing different activities for the day center for people who are like senior citizens or some people got dementia. So my job was going around just play DVD, read newspaper, doing puzzles and put music on, dance with them. So one of the ladies, she was 98 years old and her name was Millie. I still remember her. She told me, she said, why don't you come to my bedroom? I want to show you something. So I was really scared. I was like, oh my God, what should I do? So I spoke to the manager. I said, she asked me to go to her bedroom. I'm a little bit scared. So the manager said, no, it's fine. Just go and see.
Why are you scared of her?
Because I don't really know. You know, I was very new. I just came to UK. I didn't really know what I was doing. Anyway, so I went to her bedroom and her bedroom was full of posters and pictures when she was younger. She was a very famous actress. So she showed me, she had a photo album and all the pictures when she was on newspaper. She said, oh my God, I love you, Ray. You have some presence. I don't know how to describe. You should be on stage. Anyways, she said all that. I didn't really believe her. I just thought, oh, maybe she's got dementia, you know, or she didn't really know what she was talking about. And she said, my son-in-law has a theater company. If you're really interested, I can put you through. Mm. And I just said yes to everything. And then I just forget about the whole thing. And then 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from her son-in-law and the company, I think it's called Welland Thilliams. It's in Wellington City. And then he called me, he said, do you want to come over for an interview? I said, I said, who is this? He said, my son, my mother-in-law love you and I really want to meet you. But anyway, cut the long story short, I went for the interview and I did a 3 musical. Kiss Me, Kate.
Musical?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Kiss Me, Kate, Paris of Penzance.
So you have to dance?
I have to dance, I have to sing.
In English or
in English?
Oh, wow. So your English wasn't very good.
Well, it wasn't. I didn't understand. When I was doing the rehearsals, I was so nervous. I didn't understand the lyrics. I was just, anyway. So I remember my first line. I still remember my first line is, it was in Kiss Me, Kate. Oh, no, it was in Sweet Charity. So my first line was, hey, there's a girl in there. I think she's drowning. I couldn't sleep the night before. I was so nervous. I was like, oh my God. So I practiced like 100 different versions. But anyway, so I did 3 shows with them, probably last for 2 years with all the rehearsals. And it's a charity organization. So all the money raised and it's all for, and then I kind of like just left the theater. And then I was, I was a student. So I was focusing on my study. So I did a business studies, finished, and worked in health and social care for 11 years. I was bored. I was an operations director about four and a half years ago, or was it 5 years ago almost? Mm. And then at the same time, I was mentoring the young people in my organization. I always ask people like, what's your dream? So I'm very good at planning other people's lives.
But not your own.
Not my own. So that's what I realized. I said, oh my God, I actually spending so much time planning other people's life and neglecting myself. So I used all the tools and I just did a huge planning for myself. Like, what makes me happy, what I want to achieve in my life, what do I want to do. And then all of a sudden, you know, the memory came back, you know, all the theater memory. I said, oh my God, I really enjoy the, you know, the time I spent, I was on the stage. I said, oh wow, yeah, I want to become an actor. And then that was it. I just quit my job.
You quit your job without...
I took annual leave first. I remember I had a 6 weeks annual leave that time. So I thought, let me just take all my annual leave. And then I need to give the notice anyway. So, yeah.
But then how did you... when I stopped doing my office job, I still had to do freelance to support myself for you know, living costs.
Well,
because you didn't get acting roles
straight away. Yeah, I registered with all the, like, a lot of background extras agencies, and I just want to get into it. I quit my job. I thought I'm not gonna give myself a plan B.
Wow.
Well, I just thought if I want to go for it, I have to just give it 100%. If I have a plan B, I feel like I can't give 100%. So I quit my job, but I do have something to live on. You know, I worked hard for 11 years. I managed to buy properties. And then I think on my first or second job, I met you.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, we met on one of those, like, corporate shoot where I still do them, by the way, because I did one the other month. Where you...
Image store companies, isn't it?
No, the last one I did was a commercial where you walk in the background. So you see the actors in front of the camera, and then in the background, a very small, teeny tiny person.
Oh.
And that's me.
Yeah.
We did that as well. But the job we did was more like stock footage, which were more featured, right?
Yeah.
Which was more exciting. I remember there's one where we have to... I had to have a bicycle, and I have to just push the bicycle down the road, and are you coming towards me?
Walking past.
Yeah.
I think we were pretending we were all in Japan, wasn't it? It was the Japanese officers, like office workers, yeah. It was interesting. So I did all kinds of job, backgrounds, voiceover.
And then we did Bloodline?
Yeah, Bloodline. Oh my God, I remember those days. But I'm super proud of you. To be honest, yeah. I mean, I remember the Bloodline. I feel like it was just two people playing with a camera. We didn't really know what we were doing.
Uh-huh.
My God, now you've done two feature films.
And
I don't know how many short films now.
38 short films.
Wow.
What did you learn from Bloodline? How did you improve yourself?
At the beginning, I thought, acting is easy, you know. You know, I thought if you want to do it, you just give 100%. And just sometimes, and then later on, I realized, oh my God, it's not about how hard you work. It really depends on what you look like. You know, like if you are the person they're looking for in the role, and also your luck as well.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I always thought what you look like is more about the commercials, because you just have that specific look. But acting, I don't know. I think sometimes, especially when there's a role, they are looking for anybody and everybody. They are actually looking for someone who's got the charisma and the right energy.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning, I just thought, if I just keep trying, go for auditions and castings, I'm going to make it. You know, I believed in myself. And I did a lot of commercials at the beginning. So I signed up with so many modeling agencies. I remember there was one day I went for an acting role. I wasn't really prepared. You know, because when you do too many auditions for commercial and modeling work, you don't really need to prepare. You just turn up and it kind of like just read the descriptions, like, okay, kind of like just dress up, you know, the character. But I remember the first acting role I went in, oh my God, it was the awkward moment. Like, I feel so embarrassed. I just feel so ashamed. Like, I didn't learn my lines. You know, I can see all the casting directors and everyone behind the camera. I feel like I'm wasting their time. And then after the audition, I was like, shit. I said, oh my God, I ruined my opportunity. And then after, I called my agent. My agent said, no, you have to prepare. How can you, you know... you left a really bad impression now. So all the casting, this casting director might not, you know, want to see you again because they know how you are. And then that's the time I realized, oh my God, I need a training. And then I think I started with Identity.
Yeah.
I did two terms with Identity because then I was signed with them. So I was doing commercial, only in the commercial department. And then they said, if you want to join the acting department, you have to be in the acting school. So I did two terms with them. And then I joined Actors Temple. And then I studied there, trained there for 2 years, changed to two different agents.
Just touching on the agents, I remember when you were going through a different agency, and I don't know if you remember, I keep calling you, saying to you, oh, which agency are you with? Thinking that the right agency will get me the right job. But now I realize it's not really the right agent, is it? It's about, obviously, you don't want to go with a bad reputation agent, but you still have to put your own work in. Your agent's only there to be a tool for you to get get work, right?
100%. I remember, because at the beginning I want to join IAG, Identity, you know, such a big agency. You know, they have so many huge stars. John Boyega, Latisha Wise. And I thought, this agency, you know, especially me as an Asian, I think they're really representing like BAME background artist. That was my aim. And then I realized, oh, maybe this agency is too big for me. You know, I'm just starting my career. They don't really have time. You know, the roles, maybe the role I'm going for, maybe it's just like going there for one line, two lines, and then that's how you build up your credits. And then I've decided to leave them. I joined a smaller agency. Well, there were so many times I was planning, like, I need to change an agent. You know, you have the moment, you haven't heard from them for a while. It's like, oh my God, I'm doing everything. If I'm not getting booked, there must be something wrong with my agent. I thought, let me just change my agent. Every time when I have a thought like that, and I get a job booked. Wow. Like a commercial job. I was like, oh shit. The lesson I've learned, you can't really rely on your agent 100%. You still need to work on yourself, like working with you, working with the people who you know, you can learn how to create work. Like, I'm not, you know, I can't write. Not like you, you can create, you can, you know, you can direct, you can do all that editing. I just feel like, oh my God, what can I do? What can I contribute? So I'm actor, so most of the time when I'm on set, I've realized my skills is people's skills. So I can easily identify, okay, who is good at what. So even when I'm on set, even when I'm doing some background works or spec works, and I meet some talented people, I always get their contacts. So if there's some projects going on, I give them a call. And then you realize they will return the favor. You know, when some other project's going on, they will call you as well. Like, oh, and then that's how you just keep yourself busy. And then I remember when I quit my job at the beginning, it was really difficult, especially for the first 4 months. It was so hard. So my life was like structured. And then since I started doing this, I don't even know what I'm doing next week. Like, you start panicking. It's like, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, and then after 4 months, I now realized, you just need to adjust. This is a new way of living. Yeah, don't panic. Work will come. Just work on yourself.
And what kind of roles have you really enjoyed doing? Do you see yourself start becoming a certain character with the casts you get kind of booked for? And what do you think you need to work your kind of weaknesses out? What do you need to improve? Because I've seen you in a lot of commercials, like I said. Yeah. But I haven't seen many films that you've been in. I remember you were in a Vietnam film. That looked really good. Obviously, you've been in my film, C600. Obviously, you've improved as well from the first C600 to the latest one. There's a lot of difference in terms of your acting range. You used to be very stiff. Not stiff, sorry. You used to be very... Oh, I'm acting now. Okay, I have to become this one. Not so natural. And I still remember on the manner which we rapped recently, you still have those little bit of bad habits with you.
Mm.
So yeah, what do you think you need to work yourself on? What kind of character do you find yourself play the most?
Well, what kind of character? I to be honest with you, for all the auditions I get so far, so I get a lot of gangsters roles. Gangsters or a rich Chinese businessman kind of characters I get. But in my heart, I really love comedy. I really love comedy or romantic films. That's the kind of films I really enjoy playing. But I have to say, the training, acting training, really helps me a lot. And also working with you, because I know you really well, and you can tell me straight away, like, okay, you keep doing this, you keep doing that. I remember when we filmed C600, the first one, you said, oh my God, you blink a lot. You know, you blink a lot in front of camera. I was like, really? I didn't even realize. And then I start doing, you know, like self-tapes and even with the TikTok videos. And I realized the same thing. I was like, oh my God, I blink a lot. Because when you blink, especially with the films, and...
you get distracted.
Yeah. And then people just like, you know, don't really believe what you say. They're coming out of the, you know, the story. And so I kind of like having that... Okay, I'll keep telling myself, okay, stop blinking too much.
It's like telling yourself, stop breathing.
Yeah, it's hard. It's at the beginning, it's hard. And then you have to practice and then slowly. But it's good working with you. You can tell me straight away. If I work with other directors, they might not just tell me. They might not tell me at all. They were just like, okay, can I have another take? Can we have another take?
Or they might say, wonderful, right?
Yeah,
well done.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, it was so good. Yeah, that was so good. Yeah, reset. One more take. So I keep doing the same thing. You know, if you don't tell me, I just keep doing the same thing. I mean, there was some short films I'm really proud of. The one you mentioned, the Vietnamese soldier I played, it's called White Rabbit. And I have to speak Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. And then there's another film I really enjoy. I can't remember the name now. Is the whole cast all Japanese. And I have to speak Japanese. When I went for that job, the director said, oh my God, Ray, I really love you to be on my project. I had a dream when I was writing this script. You are the exact person, you know, how you look. You were in my dream. You look exactly the character. So when I read the script and realized I was playing a murderer, so I in the story is like I killed my wife. I was like, so I look like a murderer in your dream. So she, the director, she's a friend. She insists. She said, oh, I need you to be in my film. But I told her, I said, I can't speak Japanese. She said, oh, only a few lines. I said, if it's only a few lines, it's fine. I can learn. At the end, I had like 2 pages monologue.
Oh.
And then I struggled. I learned. I just couldn't.
Could you do some Japanese for us?
No, listen.
Come on.
I can't. And then at the end, the day before shooting, I called her. I said, listen, I don't think I can do this. I said, I've got some Japanese actors. I can refer you. You know, I don't think it's too much. I don't think all I'm thinking is learning the lines. I'm not really acting. And then also I've giving her option. I said, do you want me to do it in Chinese instead, unless you change the story a little bit? So I said, in Japan, there were so many Chinese people living in Japan. You could change the story. There's Chinese husband with a Japanese wife. And then, you know, I said, I can still do my monologue in Japanese, in Chinese anyway.
You and do I can the subtitles. Still be a murderer.
Yeah, I can still be a murderer. At the end, that's how I did it.
So you did in Chinese?
I did in Chinese. And then
what's the film called?
I can't remember.
You can't remember the film?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I did probably like more than 30 short films. I can't remember. But I'm very proud of my recent short film called Death Zone.
Death Zone?
Yeah.
What's that about?
It's about computer games, addictions.
Oh yeah, you told me about it.
Yeah, and then it's I think it's still going around the film festivals, and then we've already won like best short film.
Have you watched it?
I have, yeah.
And it's good?
I think it's good. I think I've given everything I can and I played how I wanted to play. Once I've done it, and if I'm happy, if the director's happy, and that's it.
Let's talk about The Manor. Is it your first feature film with a very lead role kind of this?
Yeah,
so that must be really exciting for you. What was that you enjoyed? And without giving any spoilers away, what's your takeaway from that?
The Manor, oh my God, I don't really know where to start. Again, I loved the whole experience. I mean, from the concept film, you know, when we did the short film, The Manor, I was already like start thinking how the story is going to be. I remember that the script changed so many times. I was just excited. I was like, but I didn't really know what to expect because I know all the projects I've done with you, it's short films. So I didn't really know, like, is it going to be different, you know, if we work with so many people on set and this is the feature film. And I had a lot of pressure from you as well, you know, because you tell me exactly how it is. You keep saying, you need to learn your lines because this is my first feature and I've got a lot of lines to learn.
Did you have a lot of lines?
Compared to other short films, I do have a lot of lines to learn.
Yeah, but the only problem with this is because the feature, we only had limited time.
Yeah.
And I know we don't have many takes. Unlike C600, if anyone's watched it, there's a line where he says, "What am I doing? It's just a robot." We had 12 takes for that line because Ray couldn't get it right. And he still didn't get the way I wanted. So we don't have that kind of luxury.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah, that's
and that. I'm surprised you did reasonably well. There's one particular scene, you had a little bit of a monologue, which is also a very shocking scene.
Yeah.
I think you know what I'm talking about. And that was very good. Everybody enjoy your performance.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what people think when the film comes out.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, I really enjoyed playing the character. I mean, the hardest part for me was because we're not filming in order.
Yeah.
And then, so the hardest part is when you can say, so we're filming this. So I always think, oh my God, where am I coming from? Where am I going? So that's the hardest part for me because because of the story. I don't want to give it too much away. So, that's the hardest for me. Like, you know, like when I did a training, acting training, you always like prepare, you have the time to prepare. When you work on the film set, you don't really have much time to do all that.
You do. Depends on what you do in your downtime.
You
play pool, you drink alcohol, or you learn your lines.
Yeah.
Some people might not understand this joke. So we stayed on this house where everybody is able to just, you know, stay there and don't have to go home because it's COVID and it's easier. We stay in the bubble and just it's more convenient for everybody who don't have to travel in the morning, especially if there's an early start. So I think 90% of the cast and crew stayed in this 9-bedroom manor. And in one of the rooms where Ray sleeps, there's a big, massive snooker table.
And a huge TV.
And a huge TV.
And I even brought my own speakers. Like, so I need to make sure I'm in a very comfortable environment. Yeah. Well, it was good. The best part is all the crew. So everybody's been so nice and made it so much easier. You know, the first day I arrived, I feel like I get on with everybody straight away. From all this experience, what I've learned is I have to be confident.
Mm-hmm.
If I start getting nervous or if I don't believe in myself, I'm not going to deliver. So that's the lesson I've learned. So sometimes I just get stuck in my head how I want to say this line. That's why, you know, like when we did a C600, even you said there was one line I did 12 takes, I still couldn't get right because I just get stuck. Like that's how I practiced, how I rehearsed at home. And then when you're on set, just no matter how director tells you, it's just not going through. But I'm glad that was how many years ago? 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2 years.
So yeah. And then I've learned and he, you know, you're working with your friend and that's the best thing. He just tells you and then, even at the beginning, you know, you don't really want to hear too many negative stuff, but you know you have. But I know I had a problem, so I have to work on it. And then the biggest thing, what I've learned, is the confidence. You have to believe in yourself. and then
you said
other people will
believe
you.
Already.
Yeah, but it's just it's so important. I don't think people can understand. Some people just think it's the confidence, but you have to really believe in yourself. You can do this, and then it will come out in front, on camera, and then other people will believe in you. Your confidence, yeah, and then even you're not delivering the line. Not the way director wanted, but it's still a good way. You know, they have another option.
There was, like I said, I don't want to give too much away, but I really appreciate your bravery for doing this particular scene in the manner. When I wrote it, I immediately knew that you wouldn't have a problem doing that. don't ask me why, but I just knew. I was right when I gave you the script. You say, oh my God, do you want me to do that? I was like, yes, I do. And you did it. And yeah, it looked really good on screen.
As long as you guys, now I've learned, just do what directors want. That's it. And then, but just be prepared as many options as you can. And give everything you can and be confident.
C600, it's somehow become a very popular sci-fi series now. The first episode is being viewed millions of times. The second, probably 250,000. The third is on its way. And some of you listening, I'm sure you've heard of C600. If you haven't, just Google it. You'll sit down and enjoy for at least how many? Maybe, an hour of good sci-fi with Ray. At one point, you told me that when we made the first one, someone came up to you on a train who recognized you.
Yeah.
Was that...
And that was during pandemic, by the way. And I was wearing masks. I was wearing a mask. And someone came to me. It's like, hi, have I met you somewhere? I said, no. He said, are you the guy? He said, I'm not being, horrible or don't want to be sound racist. And, are you the guy in C600 in this sci-fi film on YouTube? I said, I said, do you like it? And he said, yes, I like
it.
Really.
Ask him. Yeah. You don't say it's me first. Make sure he likes it.
I said, do you like it?
What if he said no?
He said, yeah. He said, I like it. I said, yeah, if you like it, yeah, it's me. That was the first time I realized. I was like, oh my God. Even just, it was crazy. I don't know how about you about C600.
Yeah, I didn't expect the first one to be so popular and also carry on people loving it. And there is actually, there's a small fan base somewhere in the world.
It's crazy. I still remember it was so quick from we got a script until the day we released that film, 4 days.
First one?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh yeah, I had an idea the day before, so I told Megan and Ray. And then the next day the script is finished and said, you need to come on the evening. Yeah, and it was hot summer's night.
And in June, I think. Yeah.
And they had to dance in my kitchen.
Yeah.
it's a dancing element I really enjoy from a C600. There's always some kind of dancing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm writing the fourth one now. I'm hoping to shoot in April and releasing April. This one is going to explain a little bit more of everyone, why they're doing what they're doing. And there'll be a review of a supervillain.
Wow.
Can't
wait.
So Ray's going to be the center part of the story in the fourth one. Let's talk about the films you love. Recent films, all-time favorite, classic films. What films you really want to be in?
I think I want to be in next James Bond film.
As James Bond?
No. I want to be the villain. I think I can play a very good villain. And
show me your
especially
face.
Especially recent, the James Bond film that I watched. I was like, oh my God, I forgot his name, the character who played the villain.
The character called James Bond?
No, the guy who played the villain.
Daniel Craig?
The guy who played the villain.
Oh, he was in Mr. Robot. Yeah.
So he played really well. I really enjoyed that film. The recent ones I enjoy the most probably is the Spider-Man.
Did you cry Spider-Man?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah?
I
want to watch a second time when it comes on stream.
I really enjoyed that. And then there were so many Korean films and also Chinese films I watched a lot. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm very funny. I think I'm very good at comedian. And that's part of me is not showing on
well, you should really well in the manner.
Okay.
Again, I don't want to give away too much, but there's some really good comedic moments.
Yeah. So I did, because I did a Chinese TV series. I played it very like a comedian kind of funny character. And I really enjoyed.
Didn't you, at one point you told me your dream was to become a TV host?
Yes, I still have that dream, actually. I just never really start.
So you don't want to be an actor? You want
to... No, I don't think there's a you have to pick one.
Okay.
Yeah. The reason I've been doing acting is I feel like I can play so many different characters. You can live in that moment and to have a experience. You know, you can play a police officer, you can play an IT guy, you can play a gangster. In that moment, you are a gangster. You know, whether so, but in real life, if I do a normal job, I'm probably just an operations director for that company, and then that's the only role I have. You know, if that's the reason why I really enjoy doing acting. I feel like you can have a different experience, different experiences with different roles, and life is too short, and you just need to experience more. And also, deep down, I want to become a TV host one day. That's my dream. Like, well, it's not clashing with my acting, so I want to do both.
Thanks. Thanks for that information. Yeah, it's good to have you on this podcast. And for those Patreon members, there will be another episode in the Patreon edition where me and Ray are going to talk about representation in the East Asian community in the film industry. And excited to talk about that with you as well. Any last words, Ray, before you go? For our listeners.
Well, thank you for having me. And please, if you're listening to Reader's Universe.
The Reader Universe.
Please subscribe and keep supporting him. And I'm very proud of him. Like, all, you know, just keep supporting him. And then you're going to see some amazing work coming from Blake. And
yourself.
And myself as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.